from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. This is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. Welcome. First up, we've got a station announcement. 2RPH would like to invite you to spring into the future with us. Our donation campaign is underway. Please contribute today by calling 029518 8811. That's 029518 8811 in business hours, or visit 2rph.org.au/donate. It would be greatly appreciated. On with the show. So, it's time to look at the warmer weather at 30 laps. They tell me it's coming, whoever they are, and what the discerning car buffs should be driving in that warmer weather. We can't go anywhere outside this wonderful country, so how about we drive around it in the open air? Some are convertibles, which is good, unless you are Donald Trump or you have a syrup of some kind, but some are expensive, some are sexy, so let's look at the warmer weather tourers. A syrup of some kind? Well, if you lived in the East End, which lies east of the Roman and medieval walls of the City of London and north of the River Thames, and you leant up against the Algate pump, you'd be a Cockney, wouldn't you? You'd call a toupee or a hairpiece a syrup. A syrup of figs equals wig, me old shiner. London, Paris, Peckham, them apples all covered from Algate to Glebe this week on 30 Laps. And sticking with that one London scene, how about a Dodger then? No, not the Artful Dodger, but a story with a twist, so to speak, Oliver, my boy. Avoid the Dodgers and let's have a few pointers on looking to buy a classic motor vehicle. No, not a first edition Pickwick Papers, a classic motor. Some things to look out for from the Australian's John Connolly. Ragtops, mop tops, and old classics. Let's J. Edgar up the lot this week at 30 laps. And we hit the open road this summer with a couple of classic cars. And this comes from John Redfern, written on the 31st of July, and it's from motoringresearch.com. Get ready to cruise into the sunset with one of these cars. If spending time at home has made you realise there's space for a classic car in your garage, or you've got a friend that likes to drive you around in one, help is at hand. The R.M. Sotheby's Open Road Sale has a wide range of options to suit any budget or taste. Run strictly online, bids can be placed with the various lots until the end of September. So let's try a few of these on for size, shall we? How about a 1965 Shelby 427 SC Cobra Sanction 2? For those who missed out on the chance to buy an original Shelby Cobra, the Sanction 2 editions offered redemption 5 decades later. Built in 2014, but using genuine 247 SC chassis, they are an exact match for the cars used in the 1966 FIA World Championship. That includes a 429 cubic inch V8 with 550 horsepower. Pooh, that's fast. 4-speed manual. I reckon it'll make $500,000 US. Not to be outdone, a 2005 Ford GT. Ford GTs are all the generations rank highly for collectability, and this 2005 version should continue the trend. Although not quite as rare as some colour combinations, 477 examples were made in central white with blue racing stripes for this model year. It benefits from all the available factory options with forged alloy wheels, painted brake calipers, that's very important, and a Macintosh stereo system. The 550 horsepower supercharged V8 has covered only 1,900 miles, and new, they were around $325,000. The third convertible today is a beauty. What could you take for a better summertime cruising than looking out across the long hood of an E-Type Jag? Even better when its more attractive series Roadster. This particular car is powered by a 3.8-litre inline-six combined with a 4-speed manual transmission. Only 385 were made. Identifiable by their exhaust hood, locks and the welded louvers. Making this example more collectible is the award-winning restoration and the fact it has twice been owned by IndyCar legend Bobby Rahl. As such, the pre-sale estimate is between $250,000 and $300,000 US. This is a favourite of mine, the 64 Chevy Corvette Stingray. Another red sports car, this special C2 Corvette was first sold in Vancouver, Canada, and bought by racing driver Laurie Craig. The car was entered in the numerous motorsport events, even raced by Sir Stirling Moss, personal friend of 30 laps, is said to have driven this vet at the Westwood Racing Circuit. He's a personal friend of the show, not of the person providing the information today. Good old Laurie had ordered the car with a 327 cubic inch V8 engine. Although he later sold the car, the current owner tracked down Laurie to find out more about its early life. Retaining the original Riverside red paintwork, the Corvette once again has Laurie's number 220 on the doors. Such well-documented providence and connection with a famous racing driver means the Corvette is going to go for around $165,000 US. It's a fair bit of dough to have your hair, or lack of it, blowing in the breeze. How about when it's not raining, we take the 61 Ford Thunderbird Custom. One surefire way to make a statement at your next car show is by arriving at this customised Ford Thunderbird. The special bodywork has transformed this third generation T-Bird into a two-seater speedster with a bespoke tonneau cover. A chopped windshield and other unique touches have also been added. Beneath the very red hood is a 390 cubic inch V8 featuring MSD ignition and chrome detailing. It might not be for everyone, but the price of being different, it's likely to go between $30,000 or $40,000 US. We now enter the drop-dead gorgeous department with a 2008 Rolls-Royce Phantom Drophead Coupe. For open top motoring, there can be fewer options more luxurious than the Rolls-Royce Phantom Drophead Coupe, or DHC for short. A soft top version of the imposing Phantom sedan, the DHC can accommodate four inside a leather-clad interior. It features the 22-inch wheels and trim inspired by teak used on yachts. I didn't write this, I'm only reading it. Add to the exclusive feeling. Beneath the large hood is a 6.8-litre V12, effortlessly delivering 454 horsepower. It lets the huge Phantom DHC accelerate from 0 to 60 in 5.7 seconds. Making a statement, this big is not cheap, with the Phantom predicted to achieve between $160,000 and $180,000 US when sold. Cost you that much to keep the damn thing on the road too, I'd imagine, every year. Crikey. And we'll finish off this nonsense with a 2012 Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG. Created as a modern interpretation of the classic 300 SL Gullwing, the Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG parks and packs a serious look and a serious amount of ability. The body, made from carbon fibre and aluminium, houses a 6.2-litre AMG V8. It delivers a thumping 563 horsepower and offers a potential top speed of 196 miles an hour. This example wears $12,000 AMG Allbloom silver paint and comes fitted with carbon ceramic brakes behind the lightweight alloy wheels. Carbon fibre trim inside and out added an additional $24,000 to the original cost price. It all makes the pre-sale estimate of $145,000 to $165,000 US seem like a good deal for prospective bidders. Let's face it, you've got to make the right impression when you're going to his or her door.
They got married early, never had no money. Then when he got laid off, they really hit the skids. He started off his drinking, then they started fighting. He took it pretty badly, she took both the kids. She said, I'm not standing by.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. We get the drift. And we thank John Redfern from motoringresearch.com for the rundown on some of the sexier soft tops available this summer. If you've got the money, that is. And now we get some advice from the Australian's John Connolly on buying a classic car. Buying a classic car can cost a bomb. So here's some tips. And this was from the 18 July 2020 edition of the Weekend Australian. He writes, about now you've read every book ever written, binged on every TV show, given up watching your clothes shrink in front of your eyes, and thought through every pickup line you can use, both male and female. If the coronavirus doesn't take you out, can I? And you've drunk every beer made except Corona, and there's so many virus jokes out there. It is a pandemic. It's a pandemic. So there's only one answer to stop the trip to the funny farm, and that's to buy your first classic car. As usual, we've dragged our team, well, two, of our experts to stop you losing too much money and hair. Dave Guinea from Haggerty, the world's largest insurer of classic cars, is also one of the 12's top valuers of old metal. Thwarted in his ambition to be a jockey. He's a 2 metre tall and weighs 136 kg. He's turned to cars, where his main advice is, not surprisingly, buy something that fits you and you fit it. Then there's James Nichols, the writer, lecturer, broadcaster, classic car consultant and founder of AXA Sydney Harbour Concours d'Elegance. Let's get their common themes out first. Number one. Do your research and pay for some advice if you're going to spend reasonable money. Most people get financial advice on shares, advice on big ticket items for home, and for some reason don't get any advice when they spend 30 grand on a new or used classic car. Number two, buy a car with most of the restoration done, unless you are handy on the tools. I know of someone who spent $200,000 restoring a $140,000 E-Type and sold it for $250,000, says James. I know lots of people who have spent hundreds of thousands restoring cars and got half of it back, says John. Number three, despite what you've read about classic cars outperforming every other investment, don't buy your first classic to make money. If you buy well, you will definitely lose less money than buying a new car, at least 30% when you drive out of the showroom, and over time you might get back what you paid for it. Number four, buy a car you and your family or special friend will drive and enjoy. Buy with your head and your heart. If you've got two kids, don't buy a two-seater unless you really need to get away, says James. Buy it because you love it or you've always wanted one, says Dave. Number five, always get an independent mechanical inspection, and if you're paying serious money, have someone check all the papers and see how real a classic it is. This is true at auction, dealer, and most specially private sale. Number six, look at five or six examples of the car you love, get the best condition for the price, pay a little more to get a lot more, says Dave. Okay, now, what would our experts buy as a first classic? Oh, before we do that, some people say buying a classic car is a dumb thing. So how about another classic dumb thing? It's not a dumb thing. It's an exciting thing. Let's read on, shall we? The biggest person in classic cars says, buy something uncomplicated. Dave suggests things that with straight sixes, British Roadsters, MX-5s, less desirable Falcons from the 70s without the hot engines, and of course, a really good Holden Ute. Vehicles with a bed, as a tray in Australia, have an in-use value, says a person who drives a pickup himself. James has a set of guidelines. Buy a brand that is still available, like a Jaguar. He recommends an E-Type or a Mark II, or a Mercedes 280 SL, and keep up with modern traffic. Like Dave, he fancies MGs, lots of spares and car clubs. His favourite is a Citroen DS. At the end of the month, you can pick up a nice Citroen at the Silverstone Classic Auction. Now, this is a 1970 D21 with bodywork by Henri Chaperon, one of the most beautiful cabriolets ever to glide down the Champs-Élysées. But unfortunately, out of the reach of most bidding dwellers or drawers, with an expected price of $150,000. At the same sale, you can buy a few cars from Hamo, that's Lewis Hamilton's father's own collection. My favourite is the rare and beautiful Swallow Doretti that combines practical Triumph TR2 mechanics and Italianate elegance. Fortunately, Daryl Carthew's classic car factory in Sydney did the reno for Hamo Senior, which means the lights work and there's no oil leaks. Yours for 100k. Anyway, there's about a zillion Triumphs he's unloading, but also a couple of real classics, 1957 Corvette and a cryingly beautiful red 2006 Ford GT, like the ones we talked about earlier in the show. Can't afford the call to Silverstone? Well, head down to Binelong in the Yass Valley, where the local motor museum is calling it a day and selling everything, including an old 2001 Ferrari V12 550 Maranello Coupe for $310,000, or a very rare 1972 Ferrari 365 GTC Stroke 4 for $500,000, and a very, very blue 1996 Julian and Boyer Matra Honda Land Speed record car for $40,000. I've been to that one, folks. It's a beauty, the Binelong Museum. If you want to go, you better hurry, because they really are calling it a day. Back on to Mazda, Audi, and all your other worst nightmares next week. But I can point out two great crook car stories. And, well, we might as well read those too, hey? US authorities have ordered a recall for 2014 to 2016 Range Rover Sports because the doors may open unexpectedly. Well, there's a feature worth paying for. Life in the time of Corona has got as boring as black sheep. Buy one of these and you'll never know when your life will take a sudden turn, or you'll take a sudden turn and there goes your life. And the other one is David Hosking was on the road for Ford, and there was a farmer at Cecil Plains, Nell Dalby, who wanted a Ford to pay for a new shed. I think that should read, wanted Ford to pay for a new shed. His tractor had started itself one night and driven itself through the shed's back wall. While not as good as the old bloke and the brown snake story, it turns out mice had eaten out the wiring loom, caused a cross circuit, activated the starter motor, and being parked in gear, drove through the wall. Ford didn't pay for his new shed. And that was from John Connolly's column in the Saturday edition of The Australian on the 18th of July, 2020. And that brings us to finishing off with a couple more limousines from last week that we didn't have time to complete. And this one is from the Bentley, Bentley itself. It's a Bentley State limousine from 2002. As presents go, a one-off Bentley State limousine has got to be one of the best. That's exactly what Bentley and other parts of the British motoring industry created for Queen Elizabeth II for her Golden Jubilee in 2002. And the two cars have been in regular use since. So, this is definitely not one of those gifts that gets used once out of politeness and then tucked away. The unique design is based on an Anage platform and it's been extended by 32.7 inches. The armoured bodywork by Bentley, and that was made by the Mulliner division, and it uses a higher roofline than the Anage to help Her Majesty get in and out in a dignified manner. The rear doors hinge to the right for the same reason. And should the Queen want to get home in a hurry, there's a 506-horsepower twin-turbo 6.75-litre V8 that was lifted from an Anage R to give the state limousine a top speed of 130 miles an hour. In a nod to the Queen's love of animals, the cars have seat made from cloth, not leather. And from Interesting Engineering magazine, Australia August 4, 2020, we're sure Ferrari enthusiasts will have a lot to say about this Frankenstein 360 Modena. And this was given to us by Chris Young, written by Chris Young, from carsales.com. An insane Ferrari 360 Modena limousine with neon-lit interior has been put up for sale in Australia. Discretion is advised for any Ferrari lovers out there, as they'll have to picture this classic being cut in half and put back together again to make something completely different. In 2012, the Italian supercar was imported to Australia from the UK, where it was cut in half, Car Scoops report. In order to be in line with all 360s, the all-aluminium body and chassis, the limo's chassis extensions were also made out of aluminium. In contrast, the extended roof, rear gullwing doors and side panels were made out of fiberglass in order to make the long car as light as possible. The car has seating for 8 people and includes 2 television sets, neon lights and even a bar. That should read, and of course a bar, I think. They go on to say that this isn't the first 360 Modena limo. 2 years ago, a yellow 360 limo was put up for sale in the United States. The car was put up with a reserve of $95,000. It was passed in. The 360 Modena limo also has just gone up for sale in Australia. It is much more expensive. The car, which is only 40,000 miles, which is 65,000 Ks on the clock, has been listed on car sales at a staggering $399,000 Australian. So there you are, classic cars and limos. I think we might go back to normal four doors next week, hey? Or maybe, yeah, I think we will. I think we've had enough of this luxury stuff. Stretched limousines, indeed. How about buying a Ferrari and then cutting it in half? Actually, a friend of my dear old dad in New Zealand bought a Rolls-Royce that had been gas. They'd cut the back off it to turn it into a ute to deliver milk around a farm in, I think it was in the southern part of New Zealand, if you can believe such a story. But he bought it and he restored it back to its original glory, and it did look magnificent when it was finished. Well, certainly looked better than when it was a Rolls-Royce ute. You could safely drive that from St Kilda to King's Cross.
boss. It's 13 hours on a bus. I press my face against the glass and watch the white lines rushing past.
And thank you for Mr. Paul Kelly today and his musical interludes. Don't forget, 2RPH would like to invite you to spring into future with us. Our donation campaign is underway. Please contribute today by calling 02951888811 or visit 2rph.org.au/donate. We would be most grateful. That just about wraps us up, I think, for this afternoon. I hope you enjoyed our little section on riding around in soft-top cars and some of the soft-top cars that were available in the United States this summer, and they will for sure appear in auction houses around Australia as well as the winter months get warmer. If you've got a comb over, put your hat on. We also had a look at some tips about buying a car. And I think the 6 steps that we went through to look out for were very useful. I think their advice is very good. Keep it simple for your first one and enjoy the whole process. It's no good buying something and then the two best days you have is the day you buy it and the day you sell it. You probably won't buy another one. And you've got to have a bit of fun with these things. And had your head under the bonnet in the middle of the winter in the cold garage, it makes the driving around in the sunshine all the more exciting. Next week we'll be, I'm not really sure what we could be doing next week, but we might be having lunch or we might be having dinner with somebody famous, or we'll be talking about something to do with motoring, racing or driving or a trip or whatever. We'll come up with something that is hopefully will keep you entertained. Apart from the music, of course. Thanks so much for your company this week. As always, I've enjoyed very much bringing these little stories to you. The show is written and produced by in the studios of 2RPH and Glebe in Sydney. And until next week, bye for now.